The Duke is Deceived. Written by Barbara Cartland. Narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1875. Prince Johann II of Liechtenstein was busy in his sitting room in the Schloss Vaduz. The pile of papers in front of him was gradually decreasing, and yet, as he gazed forlornly at them with a sigh, he realized that there were still very many of them. He was still tidying up the mess that had been left, he ruminated, by the German Confederation. The monarchy of Liechtenstein was hereditary in the male line only, and Johann had succeeded his father as prince 4 years earlier. The Liechtensteiners were intensely proud of their ruler when so many other countries, like Switzerland, had become republics. The Schloss Vaduz looked like a cross between a medieval fortress and a granary, so the wits joked, but the interior was very different. The prince's collection of paintings, to which he was always adding, was priceless and the object of great envy in other monarchies. The Schloss Vaduz was enormous, and although his family was small, there were a great number of rooms in use. And the Schloss was certainly the most luxurious building of the century, and the prince was very proud of it. He signed his name with a flourish on a particularly bureaucratic letter from the German Chancellor's office. Then, as he pushed to one side the rest of the papers in the pile, one of his equerries appeared. Prince Johann looked up, feeling irritated because he disliked being interrupted.
"I apologize for disturbing your Royal Highness," the equerry said, "but Princess Zelda of Brienz has called to see you."
The prince looked astonished, as the princess lived in Switzerland with her family, who did not often come to Liechtenstein.
"Show Her Highness in," he ordered, and rose from his writing desk.
The equerry bowed and hurried away. A few moments later, he returned and announced,
"Princess Zelda, Your Royal Highness."
Into the sitting room came an extremely attractive, in fact, very beautiful young woman. The prince had not seen her for nearly 2 years, and now he reckoned that she must be nearly 20. She had become a great beauty, as her mother had been. Her heart-shaped face and clear complexion made her outstandingly attractive, and her long golden hair was more likely to belong to an angel from heaven. She stood for a moment in the doorway, looking to make sure it was him, and then she ran towards the prince.
"I thought you would be surprised to see me, Cousin Johann," she began, "but I need your help, and it is far too long since I last saw you."
"Just what I was thinking myself," he replied to her. "You are now even prettier, dear Zelda, than you were that Christmas when you fascinated everyone in the country."
Now you're flattering me, but I enjoyed that, and now I have come to ask for your help. You are the one person I would trust to give me the right answer."
The prince smiled.
"In other words, the answer you want yourself."
"Exactly," Zelda replied.
"Well, first we must have a glass of wine," he said, "as you must be tired after your long journey. I suggest you take off your hat and cape."
As she stood in front of him, he thought that her figure was just as perfect as her complexion, and she was undoubtedly one of the most beautiful young women he had seen for a long time. As if he knew what to do, a servant came hurrying in with a bottle of the best Liechtenstein wine. The princess, having accepted a glass, sat down on the sofa, and the prince sat in a chair next to her. As the door closed behind the servant, he inquired,
"Now, what has happened? What is the trouble?"
"Need you ask?" Zelda exclaimed. "Papa is trying to marry me off to another ruler. This time he comes from the Balkans, and is even more unpleasant than the last one he chose for me."
The prince knew his cousin was determined that his only precious child should marry at the very least